Amen. Thank you so much for the wonderful music tonight. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of homesick for Beulah Land myself. I'm ready to see my eternal home, and we're so grateful that the Lord has made that available to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And was reminded as she was playing that song. I used to sing in a gospel quartet. Now, I know that's a shock to all of you sitting in here tonight, but I used to sing in a gospel quartet, and Beulah Land was one of the first songs I learned in Southern gospel music. And so that one is a very dear song to me. Was that a Dottie Rambo song? Anybody know? That's Dottie Rambo? Anybody know? Nobody knows. Okay, I can't remember who wrote the song, but she or he did a wonderful, wonderful job. As Ted already announced, we're not going to have service next Wednesday night. So I thought that tonight we would turn our attention to the theme of Thanksgiving. I love this time of year, don't you? I love this time of year, and really because Thanksgiving is that one season of the year that isn't highly commercialized. We have a lot of, push on, all the other holidays. And it seems as if anymore that we go directly out of Halloween right on into Christmas with, seemingly little regard for the season of Thanksgiving. But I think it's very important that we focus on Thanksgiving and what Thanksgiving is really all about. I love this time of the year, and I always reflect back on my childhood as a little boy, and I can remember on Thanksgiving morning waking up, and I could smell the smells of my mother cooking in the kitchen, knowing good and well that we were going to have a wonderful lunch together. And celebrate Thanksgiving together around the table. And we would make wonderful memories together. And like all of us, we would eat way too much. Amen. But it was a wonderful time together as family. I can still remember just the good times that we had talking and laughing and sharing and reflecting on the blessings of the Lord for our family. And I always knew that we were in for a treat, every Thanksgiving morning. But this week I came across a Thanksgiving blessing that I thought I would share with you this evening. I think you might enjoy this. And here it is. The blessing goes this way. May your stuffing be tasty. May your turkey be plump. May your potatoes and gravy have nary a lump. May your yams be delicious, may your pies take the prize, and may your Thanksgiving dinner stay off your thighs. Amen? I love that one. What a great prayer. And so you may want a copy of it. If you'd like a copy of this prayer, just email me and I'll send it to you, okay? But, another Thanksgiving tradition is more than just food. It's sitting there and watching football on Thanksgiving Day. And of course, I don't know why it is, but they always have the Detroit Lions playing on Thanksgiving Day. And so it's just an annual tradition to watch Detroit get destroyed on Thanksgiving Day. But of course, we all know that food and football is not what Thanksgiving is all about, is it? It's about giving thanks for the blessings of the Lord for the previous year. It's been a crazy year, has it not? It's been a year of highs and lows, a year of blessing, a year of trials and struggles and difficulties. But amidst all the craziness, it's been a year full of blessings. Now, let me ask you something. What are some things you are thankful for? What are some things you are thankful for? Now, you think about that, but, in preparation for tonight, I made a list for myself that I want to share with you. First of all, this year we celebrated the birth of our first grandchild. What a gift. That's our little grandson that... he was born last February. His name is Carter Lane Agin. His middle name comes from my son that passed away back in 2019. And so what you see there is what you get. He is a happy little boy. He's always smiling, always just a treat to play with. And so we love little Carter, and we're so grateful that the Lord gave him to us. But you know, our daughter Erin continues to get stronger after her heart transplant this year. And there she is. She's holding Carter there in that picture. And we're so proud of her and all that the Lord has brought her through this past year. And so what a blessing that is. And we give God glory and honor for that. You know, there's a third thing. On January the 3rd of next year, 2023, we'll make 36 years of marriage for me and Denise. And you know what? We haven't changed a bit, have we? So, yeah, 36 years ago, we tied the knot and haven't regretted it one moment. So we're grateful for God's blessings all of these years. And here's another one. I recently bought a brand new riding lawnmower after, listen, 17 years of push mowing my yard. And so I am so thankful for that machine right there. You may notice in the back there, that little hill, it was covered with leaves. And so I brought that thing home from the John Deere dealership, and I mowed up there, and man, look at it, slick as a whistle. You won't see a leaf anywhere. And so I'm so grateful for my new lawnmower. What a blessing that is. And you know, my family and I are coming up on 1 year right here at Pleasant Valley South. Next month, we'll make a year. And you know what? I was thinking about that, and I'm just so grateful for a wonderful church family that has already enriched our lives. And I look around this room tonight, and I see so many of you who have been so faithful to this church for years. You're here every Wednesday night, and you love the Lord Jesus, and you love your church, and you've loved on us, and you've encouraged us, and we're just so grateful for you and what you mean to our family. But what about you? Those are just some things that I'm grateful for, and of course the list could go on and on, I'm sure, but what are you thankful for? What I want you to do is just turn to your neighbor and share one thing you're thankful for this Thanksgiving season. Go ahead and turn around and share one thing. All right, good. Very good. Hey, anybody want to just shout out one thing you're thankful for this Thanksgiving? Anybody? Friends and family. Yes, praise the Lord. I guess y'all would go along with that too, right? Yes, sir. Salvation. Yes, sir. Salvation. Thank you. Church. Yes. Yes, indeed. Thankful for the prayer warriors in our church that has prayed for you, and we're so grateful for each of you. You know, all of us have much to be thankful for, do we not? And, you know, for many of us, it could be that this year has been rather difficult. Some hardships and difficulties have come. And you're wondering this evening, you know, Richard, how can I be thankful at Thanksgiving? You know, there are some things that have been difficult to navigate this year. One is, you know, the Braves didn't make it to the World Series, did they? That one was hard. But, you know, more seriously, we've seen a dramatic slump in our economy, haven't we? You know, gas prices are out of sight. We've seen an escalation of violence in our country. We've seen growing corruption in our government. And just to bring it a little closer home, maybe for you or a loved one, someone got laid off from their job. or you lost a loved one. Maybe your child is struggling, your marriage is in trouble. You feel overwhelmed by the struggles of life. And so as we gather here this evening, you may feel as if Thanksgiving is very difficult, and it's more appropriate to feel depressed or dejected or disheartened. But listen, throughout the Bible, God tells us to be thankful. He tells us to be thankful. Allow me to share just a few examples. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul writes, "Give thanks in all circumstances." Not most circumstances, not just for the good things, but he says to give thanks for all circumstances. In Ephesians 5, verses 19 and 20, Paul writes, "Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything." In Psalm 34, verse 1, the psalmist writes, "I will praise the Lord at all times, and I will constantly speak His praises." You know, that ought to be true of each of us, that in every circumstance of life, we offer praise and thanks to God through it all. You know, in the book of Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk witnessed firsthand the destruction of Judah by the Babylonians, and he saw his people being carried away into captivity. And as he surveys the horrendous sights around him, listen to what he says in Habakkuk 3, verses 17 and 18. He said, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." Habakkuk's perspective was on the Lord. Though his circumstances were bleak, yes. Depressing, yes. Hurtful, yes. But his eyes were fixed upon the goodness of the Lord. In the New Testament book of Philippians, we find the Apostle Paul, listen, sitting in a Roman prison cell. He had no idea that he would even see the next day. But the testimony of his lips was in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." The word rejoice is the very theme of the book of Philippians, written by a man sitting in a prison cell. So how could he say such a thing? The same reason you and I can rejoice in the Lord tonight. Tonight I want to share just three quick thoughts on why you and I can be thankful in all circumstances of your life, regardless of where you are. Maybe you're at the pinnacle of life and things are going great, and maybe you're in a season where you're wondering how you're going to make it through. God has a word for you tonight. First of all, I want to say to you that you can be thankful, first of all, because God is good. God is good. I love what Psalm 107 verses 1 and 2 say. The psalmist says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Listen, that ought to be characteristic of all the redeemed, to give God thanks and praise for what He's done. And listen, as we give praise to Him for His goodness, a watching world is strangely drawn to the Lord that we worship. And so the psalmist writes that the redeemed of the Lord are to say so. Praise and thanksgiving are to be the words that come from our lips. So how do you give thanks when your loved one is sick? How do you give thanks when your bills are piling up, when you've lost your job, when you're overwhelmed by life's demands? Here's the thing. Listen well. Biblical thanksgiving is not based on your circumstances. Did you catch that? Biblical thanksgiving is not based on your circumstances. It is based on the conviction that God is good. It is based on the conviction that God is good. Listen, you cannot lose sight of the fact that God is good. I've really struggled tonight with telling you my story. I don't want to sound too personal, but it's just us, okay? But I want to tell you. Back in 2019, as many of you already know, Denise and I lost our son to suicide. I cannot describe for you the grief we experienced. But you know, at the time we belonged to a wonderful church that loved on us and cared for us and prayed for us and nurtured us. Many of you have been on the receiving end of the love of this church through difficult times. And you know, that's how God expresses His goodness to us, is through His people. You know, it wasn't but a year later, after losing my son, our church called a new pastor, and he wanted to rearrange the staff. And I'm one that drew the short straw. So after 15 and a half years of ministry in that church, I had no place to go. I lost my ministry, and I lost my church family that loved me and cared for me through the most horrendous time in my life. I took a part-time church as an interim pastor. Those people loved on us and cared for us, but it was just a part-time church, and so I had to have another part-time job. So you know what I did? I took a job with the city of Cartersville in the Parks and Recreation Department. You know what I did? I went around to all the parks around Cartersville, and I cleaned toilets. I cleaned toilets. I left a church after being in the ministry for 35 years. One day I found myself in a bathroom cleaning toilets. You know where my mind was going? God, where are you? Where are you? Why did this happen to me? So while this was going on in my life, our youngest daughter, Erin, you saw in the video, on the picture, went into heart failure. I have a picture that I keep on my phone. It was a picture of Erin when she was in the hospital and her life was ebbing away. And it was a picture of me holding Erin's hand, and I will always treasure that picture. I was holding her hand, praying for her, asking God to deliver her, to come to her rescue. 11 days later, after that picture was taken, Erin received a heart. And today she's alive only because of the grace and goodness of God. I want to tell you something. The last 3 years of my life have been tough. They've been hard. But I look back over my life and I see the evidence of the goodness of God. God is good. And wherever you are, whatever your circumstances, listen to me, You cannot lose sight of the goodness of God. There were times in my life in the last 3 years where I was tempted to question the goodness of God. But after coming to that realization that God is good, I recognized that there's only God that's good. I live in a world that is sinful and broken and messed up, but God is good. So listen to me. If you ever lose sight of the fact of the goodness of God, you've lost everything. So whatever you do, never, ever lose sight of the fact that God is good. Listen, He's good. How often? God is good. God is good all the time, in every circumstance, every trial of life. Never lose sight of the fact that your God is good all the time. But secondly, I want to say to you that we can be thankful because God turns tragedies and trials into triumphs. In Romans 8:28, Paul writes, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. Listen, God will take the bad things in your life and use them for your good. We may become impatient waiting for that good thing to happen, but listen, God can still be trusted. He is working in your life, not because you deserve it, but because He is good. Listen, God is in relentless pursuit of developing you and me into the image of His own Son. And He uses the storms and tribulations and trials of life as a refiner's fire to shape us into the image of His own Son. You know, someone has well said that God never promised better life circumstances. He promises a better life. Better life circumstances are about comfort and health and status and success. These can be gifts from God, and when we receive them, yes, we should be thankful. But God never promises better circumstances. He promises a better life. You're thinking, Richard, what do you mean by that? What does that look like? It looks like Jesus. It looks like Jesus. It's a life that is filled with His peace in the midst of a storm. It's a life that's filled with His joy and His contentment when the bottom has fallen out in your life. It's His passion for the things of God. Listen, God is absolutely committed to developing these qualities in your life. Listen, there is nothing helpful or productive at all about holding on to bitterness or anger when the storms come. When you choose to reject the truth of the goodness of God, listen to me, you are headed toward a deep, deep black hole of hopelessness and despair. Don't go there. But God is mightily at work in your life to turn your tragedies and trials into glorious triumphs. Well, what does that look like? Listen, when God is faithfully, or God has faithfully shepherded you through the storms of life, you can stand and give testimony to a watching world of the goodness of God. And that's what God desires for you and for me. At day's end, that we give glory and praise to the good God that we serve. God is good all the time. So we can be thankful because God turns tragedies into triumphs. But lastly, we can be thankful because the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. I love Revelation 21, verses 1 to 5. Listen to this. John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.' And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold,'" listen, "'I am making all things new.'" Our text is telling us that all of creation will be restored to its original purpose. All of the redeemed who died in Christ will be raised to life, never to die again. You and I will receive glorified bodies, absolutely free from sin and suffering and sorrow, and we will enjoy complete and inexpressible joy in the presence of God forever and ever and ever and ever. That day is coming. Now, that's something you can look forward to. Listen, when you keep your perspective on this future reality, you can deal with anything. Listen, a mother can endure the pain of childbirth because she knows a baby's coming. Right, moms? You know, an athlete trains his body and stays in the race because he knows there's a prize to be won. So even if you're going through a hard time, listen, you can be thankful because the best is yet to come. Listen, God is not finished writing your story, but he is mightily at work in your life to conform you to the image of his Son until he calls you home, where you will be made completely new. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:17, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." I love that verse. What a day that will be. So listen, this Thanksgiving, whether you're full or empty, whether you're rejoicing or mourning, whether you're dancing or weeping, whether you're healthy or sick, you can give thanks in all circumstances because God is good. You can give thanks because God turns tragedies into triumphs. And you can give thanks because the best is yet to come. So tonight, on behalf of my family and my home, I want to wish all of you a very happy, very prosperous, and blessed Thanksgiving. And I want you to know, I love you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can give thanks in all circumstances. Lord, we live in a world that is flawed and broken by sin. Life is hard. But you have promised to shepherd us through this life to green pastures beside quiet waters. And we thank you for that. We thank you that the best is yet to come. One day when we leave this old sin-cursed world, we're going to be in your presence, where we will never again know sadness and suffering and sorrow. So Lord, tonight I pray that every person listening to my voice will be encouraged, and that every person will be filled with thanksgiving because of what you've done for us and what's in store for us in the future. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless each and every family represented here tonight with a very blessed, very happy Thanksgiving. Dismiss us with your favor tonight. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. Thank you.